From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. Barack Obama locks up the Democratic presidential nomination. With today's final primaries in South Dakota and Montana and the movement of more superdelegates to his side, the senator from Illinois becomes the first ever African American to be a major party nominee. Obama prevailed over Hillary Clinton in one of the hardest-fought elections in memory. The battle began with a crowded Democratic field, and with Senator Clinton as the frontrunner, it ends after some 17 months of campaigning, record voter turnout, and 5 months of primaries and caucuses. Joining me now is NPR's Don Gagne, who has covered the Obama campaign for us. He's in St. Paul, Minnesota, where the senator will speak tonight. Welcome, Don, and what's the word from the Obama forces tonight?
Well, they feel that, mission accomplished so far. Now they make the pivot looking ahead to John McCain and the general election. Senator Obama will deliver a speech tonight here in St. Paul, and we're actually at the site where John McCain will accept his party's nomination officially at the Republican convention this summer. So they're putting a marker down. They're using this place to talk about how different Barack Obama is from John McCain. But also, Robert, Senator Obama will tonight look back at the race, look back at these past 5 months since Iowa. He will praise those other Democrats who ran for president, calling it just an immensely qualified field of candidates. And he will devote special praise to the candidate, the woman, he says, who was in this race longer than anyone else, aside from him, Hillary Clinton. So he'll have very, very positive words for her tonight.
Hillary Clinton, who said today that she would accept the number two spot on an Obama ticket. What is the Obama camp saying about that?
Well, we just got off the plane and bussed over here, and David Axelrod, who is Senator Obama's top political strategist, was asked that very question. Specifically, is Hillary Clinton, have talks been underway? Is there a short list? He said, we're talking about the nomination tonight. There is no short list. There is no long list. The work of selecting a vice presidential nominee will begin in earnest tomorrow. Now, I can tell you, Robert, I can't believe they don't have at least a long list and possibly a short list, but he just was not nibbling at all on those questions this evening.
Okay, thank you, Don. NPR's Don Gagne with the Obama campaign in St. Paul. NPR's David Green joins us now from the Clinton campaign headquarters tonight at Baruch College in New York City. Welcome, David.
Good evening, Robert.
And we expect to hear from Hillary Clinton pretty soon. Will she throw in the towel tonight, do you think?
We're still being told that that is not her plan. She does plan to acknowledge the delegate reality this evening, but there's a real sense of finality here in this gymnasium in Manhattan. A lot of her staff, advanced staff from around the country, people who are even putting together this event until the very last minute, have changed out of their jeans and after doing a lot of work setting up and have put nicer clothing on, and they're trying to put smiles on their faces and make this a celebration. And what we're being told is that Hillary Clinton still plans to say that she is going on at least another day and not officially ending her bid for the nomination. And what's that about? Her advisors say a part of it is that she deserves at least one more day to at least reach out to superdelegates again and to think about how to do this right, and that it's about her supporters out on the campaign trail in states like West Virginia and Ohio, the people who came up to her on the rope lines at the end of events. She doesn't want to just throw in the towel after the final votes were tallied. She wants to show them that she's taking this decision very seriously.
Now, she was quoted today as saying in a conference call among the New York State members of Congress that she would take the number two spot on an Obama ticket. Does she expect to be offered the vice presidential nomination by Senator Obama?
It's not clear, and her advisors, like Don was telling us about Obama's advisors, not really talking about that. But we are told that she did say that if that is something that's offered to her, and if she views it as the best chance for Democrats to win the White House in November, it is something that she would seriously consider. So that is all the talk here, and a lot of her supporters here say that's something that would make an Obama nomination more palatable to them. So we'll see where it goes from here.
Do you get the sense that in the Clinton camp there's a great deal of bitterness towards Senator Obama? And among her supporters, is there that bitterness that's been reported?
It seems mostly frustration tonight. You know, out on the campaign trail, there has been a sense of bitterness, a sense not directly at Barack Obama, the person, but at the idea of his nomination, the feeling that the people who have voted for Obama just don't get it. I mean, that's been the view of a lot of hardcore Hillary Clinton supporters. But at the moment, it feels more like a sense of reality setting in, that there are no more delegates to count that would help her, that this is really the end, getting very, very close.
Okay, well, I guess we'll be hearing from Senator Clinton pretty soon. David Green, thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
NPR's David Green in New York City at Clinton headquarters. A few minutes ago, I spoke with the Clinton campaign chairman, Terry McAuliffe. We expect Barack Obama later to say that he now expects to be the Democratic nominee. We expect he'll be over the top with delegates. I asked Terry McAuliffe if Hillary Clinton would dispute that statement anymore.
Well, you know, you're not the nominee until you actually go to the convention and you actually get nominated. But, you know, it's been a great race. And Hillary has actually gotten more votes, as you know, than Senator Obama.
We don't actually know that. There's actually in some dispute, but go ahead. Yes.
Well, it's less dispute now. I think after tonight with South Dakota, looks like a win in South Dakota, even without Michigan in the numbers. Hillary Clinton is now ahead, if you don't count anything for Michigan. But, I mean, it's been a very close race, and it's been a very exciting race. We got more popular vote. It looks like he's got more delegates, and, you know, on we go.
On we go. An alternative would be to say, there it was. It was an interesting race, and it's over now. We're not going to hear that tonight from
Senator Clinton? We're not going to hear that tonight, I don't think. I'll let Hillary speak for herself. But I think, you know, she's going to talk about literally the 18 million people who have voted for her. She's going to talk about the issues that have mattered to her, health care, education. And, you know, she's got 18 million supporters who have come out to strongly support her candidacy, and I think she's going to address those folks tonight.
If you guys sit down and do the counting of the delegates and see that as of the morning of June 4th, Barack Obama has more than is needed to win the nomination in Denver, is it appropriate at some point to in some way concede or congratulate Senator Obama on his apparent victory?
Sure. I think it's sure. He doesn't have the delegates yet, but listen, you give him a good congratulations. But you know what? There are a lot of issues that we need to continually talk about as we move towards Denver. And Hillary wants to make sure that universal health care and other things are addressed. But it's been a great race. 20 million more people have voted in this primary process and voted in 2004. This is all great news for the Democrats as we head into the November.
Is Michigan finished? Are we all over hearing about the challenge to how many delegates should be allocated to which candidate out of the Michigan
primary?
Yeah,
I pretty much think so, but I mean, I'll let Hillary speak for herself. And, you know, listen, we weren't happy with the Michigan decision. The idea that people went and voted for her, she got these delegates, and then they arbitrarily just took four away from her. The idea of the uncommitted who, you know, under Rule 12 of the DNC, uncommitted is you have to go to the convention is uncommitted. They took all those, but I mean, it is what it is. Hillary is a much bigger issue. She wants to talk about all the broader issues of, as I say, health care and education.
Are you, and for that matter, Senator Clinton, for that matter, going to be campaigning hard for Barack Obama if he is ahead in delegates in June?
Well, whoever the nominee is, Hillary has said this, I have said this, President Clinton, everybody has said this. We are all going to work together, unified as a Democratic Party, to win on November 4th. We're not there right now. We've run a long, hard, tough campaign. Another state tonight, it looks like Hillary's going to win after once again being outspent 5-1. And I think Hillary is ending this campaign with a gigantic head of steam.
But just one last question.
Please.
You're experienced at this sort of thing. Is it necessary for the Democratic Party to unite around its candidate sometime well in advance of the national convention as late as it is this year in Denver?
I think it's important that we rally together on the issues as we get close to our convention. John McCain, there are a lot of issues. I mean, I think people don't want to vote for John McCain. I think a lot of people view him as being George Bush's third term. When he says we may be in Iraq for another 100 years, when he says that really doesn't know much about the economy and the economy is doing great, I think that gives people pause. However, on the other hand, I will say that, you know, we got to run like we're underdogs. I think that's very important. He has obviously a very prestigious record. He has served our country admirably, and we've got to work very hard. And the only way we're going to win this election is if we do it as a unified force.
But unified at Labor Day or unified sometime in June so you have a running start for the national campaign?
No, I think, going into the fall is when you have to be unified. Most people who pay attention to this will pay attention into the fall. we will be unified. Just remember, we brought out 20 million more voters than we brought out in the primary process in 2004. They're there. They're energized. We're not done with this process. You know, as we speak today, right this second, nobody has the magic number. But it's been a historic race on both sides. And no matter what it is, no matter what role Hillary is in, she is going to work her heart and soul out to make sure we win this general election.
It's Terry McAuliffe, who is the campaign chairman for Senator Hillary Clinton. Joining me now is NPR's Washington editor, Ron Elving. And Ron, a quarter of an hour ago, the polls closed in South Dakota. They're still voting for another 45 minutes or so in Montana. But South Dakota would be another close race.
It does not appear to be that close in the early tallying, Robert. We had expected this to be a good state for Barack Obama. He had run well there through the spring. He had the support of Tom Daschle, the former senator from there, and many of his backers and staff. He had, as Terry McAuliffe observed, a financial advantage in the state. And I think most people thought that he would do well there today. But he is running about 10 percentage points behind Hillary Clinton in the early tally. And at least one network has already called that race for Hillary Clinton.
Now, the way that the Democrats apportion delegates, if you're 10 points behind in South Dakota, that could mean that it splits, what is it, eight? I don't know, how many delegates? Is it 15 delegates?
It's 15, so it could be 9-6, theoretically, or it might be 8-7, depending on the final vote. But what we could say would be that he will get at least 6 delegates out of South Dakota. But that, according to our tally, because we don't have quite as many superdelegates counted in his column as some of the other news organizations, we still put him 9 votes short. So he needs 9 out of either South Dakota or a combination of South Dakota and Montana. Doesn't look like he's going to get them in South Dakota.
The assumption here is that there are superdelegates waiting to announce, still more of them waiting to announce for Barack Obama, and that the result should not be in question, at least by tomorrow.
I don't think there'll be any question in another hour, because taking what he will get in South Dakota, even a minor fraction, and what he will get in Montana, he will clearly get the 9 delegates that he needs to meet our criteria. Some other news organizations have already said he is over 2118. One thing that's clear, he will get over 2118 tonight.
One way or the other, it will wrap up the most unusual primary season I can remember.
And that I can remember and hope to ever remember.
Okay, well, we're going to talk some more about it with Ron Elving, also with NPR's national political correspondent Mara Lias, whom you may have heard commenting just a moment ago, and with Andy Cohut, president of the Pew Research Center. More on the political news of tonight, which is not just that the voting is over in South Dakota and almost over in Montana, but that the whole primary season is about to end, and it's about to end with Senator Barack Obama on top. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News. From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel, and we're talking politics in this hour. Joining me is Ron Elving, Washington editor for NPR. Hi, Ron.
Good to be with you, Robert.
Also, our national political correspondent, Mara Liasson. Hello, Mara.
Hello, Robert.
This running show, Tuesdays with Mara. This is our next to last edition. The next one's in November.
And we will miss them.
I'm sure. And Andy Cohut, president of the Pew Research Center. Hi, Andy.
Happy to be here, Robert.
There aren't that many votes being cast today, but there's some polling about what happened in South Dakota and, I gather, in Montana. What do you see?
Well, she's running pretty well in South Dakota. I mean, she's rolling up big margins in the constituencies that have been typically hers, older voters, less affluent voters, people who are not college graduates, winning as much as 60% of the vote. But she's also doing reasonably well in places where she's in groups where she's lost. She seems to be carrying white men, or they're all white men, basically, in South Dakota.
Well, the men are, anyway.
Yes. It's 52-48 in the exit poll that I'm reading. And she's even breaking even with Obama among independents. And he's generally carried the independent vote in most places, but it's 50-50 in the exit poll that I'm looking at. And it's a good showing for her. It's obviously a different kind of state, 1% African-American. Only 15% of the voters were independent in many of these other states. We've seen much larger mm-hmm. numbers in the open primary states. But nonetheless, a very good showing for Hillary Clinton among her constituencies and even among groups that she generally doesn't do well in.
So, Mara, from what Andy's saying here, it's once again is a strong finish for Hillary Clinton. She did well at the end of the primary season. She didn't do badly at the beginning after Iowa. It's that donut in the middle.
It's that donut in the middle. It's so ironic. I mean, she did rally at the end. She won a lot of big states that she has tried to convince the superdelegates mean more than the states he won. And yes, at the end, she did win more. And you could say that there were a lot of quirks of fate that affected her. If some of these states had gone earlier, if Michigan and Florida hadn't shot themselves in the foot and taken themselves off the field, she could have had those wins under her belt earlier. And even maybe she would have tied him more closely, had a stronger argument with the superdelegates. But, you know, the Democratic Party, we have learned in an excruciating, detailed way, elects its nominates its candidates by proportional representation. And Obama seems to have read the rule book a lot more closely and carefully. And he went hunting for delegates in a lot more efficient manner than she did. I mean, this is a very, very close race. I mean, she's ending up with about 45% of the delegates. He has 49. In other words, she did run a very, very strong race. But once he started in February, as you said, to rack up a delegate lead, it's very, very hard under the Democratic system to catch up.
Well, let me ask all three of you, Ron, Mara, and Andy, your thoughts here. Are the Democrats tonight effectively about to nominate? It'll obviously only be at the convention that a candidate is nominated. Are they nominating someone who actually has demonstrated very serious weaknesses for a general election campaign in the way he's run in the primaries? What do you think?
He has demonstrated some real weaknesses in the primaries, but he's demonstrated some real strengths. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's very good with young voters. He's very good with independents. He's not so good with base Democrats, not as good as she is. And race is an issue. In this poll, 12% of the white voters in South Dakota said race was a consideration, and they voted for Clinton 64-36. Among people who said race was not a consideration, it was only 54% for Clinton. So race is a factor, and it's something. It's a hurdle for him, mm-hmm. but he has some real advantages.
Ron, what do you think?
I think he redefines how a Democrat goes about trying to win a national political contest. And if that redefinition, with greater emphasis on groups that have not voted in high proportionate numbers in the past, can work the way it worked when it did operate for him in these primaries, if that can be made operative in November, then we can redefine all this. But what we know about elections for president in this country in the last 40 years would tell us that the specific weaknesses that Andy has identified are going to be big problems for Barack Obama in November in the big states he needs to win.
Mara?
Yeah, look, since JFK, the only kind of Democrat that has won is a Southern moderate, and he's not one of them, and he doesn't do well among the kind of groups that those Democrats did well among, and that's why people like Jimmy Carter or Lyndon Johnson or Bill Clinton were nominated. What Ron's talking about is the magic of Barack Obama, that he can bring so many new voters into the process, young voters, boost African-American turnout, kind of redefine the map, redefine the math, you know, change the electorate. Well, I think there's only he can do that to some extent. He still has to do better, I think, among these groups where he's weak now, and he's working very hard to do that. He has to do better among those groups, and he can make up for some of his remaining deficiencies by bringing in new voters.
Andy, what do you think about that?
One quick thing we should keep in mind. These are his weaknesses relative to Hillary Clinton. We don't know what his weaknesses are relative to John McCain. And yes, some of them are going to be there, but to what extent and the degree to which the economy, which will cut against McCain and for Obama among many of these same groups, may soften some of these problems. On the other hand, these are pretty deep-seated things. Maybe not.
So Obama would have to count on a lot of people who have voted for Democrats in the past to say, well, Obama might not have been my cup of tea in the primary season, but with gasoline and whatever it's going to be in September and the economy looking like it is and the housing market as it is, I'll vote Democratic just the same. That's his scenario, you think?
I think his mantra will be to run against George W. Bush as much as he will run against John McCain. Whatever vulnerabilities and weaknesses John McCain may have, as Andy notes, will probably not be as great as the unpopularity and the disapproval that has currently been visited upon George W. Bush in his late second term.
I have a short answer question for all of you. Does it make sense for Barack Obama to name Hillary Clinton his running mate? What do you think, Ron?
Not if he wants to do that redefinitional approach to the November election that I was talking about. No.
Andy?
Most of his supporters in our poll last week said no. So there would be a little bit of some wounds to heal here if that happens, and some enthusiasm might go out of it.
And Mara?
No. because
that's your long answer you're giving.
That's my long answer. From every conversation I've had with Obama people, they are just think it's a bad idea, wrong message, too much baggage. The issue would become the vice presidential nominee's husband. Bad idea.
Mara Liasson, Andrew Kohut, Ron Elving, thanks for talking with us tonight. We're talking about politics tonight, the South Dakota primary. Voting is closed there. Hillary Clinton running very strong there, it seems. The voting goes on for another half hour in Montana, but given the reasonable split from those two primaries and the superdelegate announcements today and some more anticipated tomorrow, Barack Obama's there. By the time the sun rises, he will have the delegates to be the Democratic nominee at the convention in Denver later this summer. This is NPR, National Public Radio.